the effects that you're going to get from oxygen in a hyperbaric condition, they don't change. So you get the antibiotic synergy if you are on that. You get the reduced swelling. You get the increased tissue strength. You get all of the collagen production that you would normally get. That happens all the time. I go in the hyperbaric chamber, I come out, I'm telling you, I feel like $10 million.
Welcome to the Wealthy Wealthy Wise podcast. If you would like to listen in on thought-provoking conversations with countercultural thought leaders and experts in the fields of wealth, health, and relationships, the three keys to having what I call a wealthy, wealthy life, then this is the show for you. I'm Christina Wise, real estate investor, best-selling author of Falling for Money, and founder of Wealthy Wealthy, where I serve as your personal guide to money, health, and happiness. Welcome back to Wealthy Wealthy Wise. In this edition, I talk with Joe DeTore. Joe was with the U.S. Navy active duty for over 28 years, served as a special operations saturation diver, and has a lot of stories to tell. I'm fascinated by the fact that he's been 2,000 feet below the ocean surface. And if that wasn't enough, he has a master's degree in astronautical engineering, meaning not only is he fascinated by the deepest depths of the ocean, he's just as interested in space and as far out as you can get that way. And he's just an overall amazing, amazing guy. You will love him. He currently is working on his dissertation for his PhD in biomedical engineering and is really looking at new methodologies and therapies using hyperbaric chambers as medicine. If you followed me when my father was going through cancer, we really looked at hyperbaric as an alternative therapy for his cancer. We also talk about hyperbarics and how useful they are, the efficacy for wound healing and for just overall performance and better health. So if you're interested in learning a little bit more about hyperbarics and all sorts of fun things and great stories, you won't want to miss this episode. Enjoy.
All right, how much fun to be sitting here with the two of you, always with you, of course, but with my new BFF, Joe DeTore. And we just met.
Yeah, like a lifetime ago, but yeah.
Right. Well, it was so much fun to meet you in person because I've heard so many stories between you and Kirk. And so, of course, like the second you walked in the door, I'm like, ah!
That instant. I've been knowing you my whole life. So
anyway, you came to the event that we had a couple of weeks ago. How was that for you?
Oh, my goodness. So I, as you know, I came with the intention of, you know, well, I'm just going to go and I talk and I do that a lot. Like, I'm just going to go. I'm going to do, you know, an hour long, whatever. And I'm not going to prepare any slides or whatever. It's going to be real chill. And then I got here and then every piece of magic in every person just kind of aligned in the right spot. And the lecturer became the student. And I was like, oh. So I got I got my learn on while I was at that event, that's for sure.
Which is really the whole goal of the Wealthy Wealthy live events, is that we're all in this together. Versus we're in so much of this place where we're these authorities and we're these experts, we're the gurus, we know everything, we talk down to everyone and everyone could be just like us. And then we kind of get used to that and then our egos can play into it almost. And then it just becomes this whole kind of ridiculous game at the end of the day and then we're lost in it.
Yeah.
So that's really the idea with these events, is that we're all masters and we're all students. And sometimes the master and sometimes we're the student. If we can flow in and out of that, then so much magic can show up in so many new relationships and conversations and new ways of thinking and opening different perspectives and new potential love relationships might happen. You just never know.
You just never know.
Anyway, I want to say thank you for coming. So I know you just came because you trust Kirk and you guys have a long history. And so it was my honor that you said yes. So thank you.
No, all right. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right. So.
And our history is not PG rated for the audience.
It's not PG rated. Yeah. So, I'm not even privy to all of the stories yet, but.
Yeah. Oh, wait, what are you not even
for? One day we'll tell you everything, right?
Right, yeah.
Right.
So, how far do you guys go back? You both were Navy men and SEALs, and we'll talk more about your background in the Navy, but is that where it all started?
Oh, yeah. I think the first time we ran into one another was at Deep Submergence Unit, right?
Yeah. I met you out on the Kelly Schwest thing and did your physical while you were running the ADS.
Yep.
So tell people a little bit about the ADS.
So the ADS is the one atmosphere diving suit, as you well know. But so what it is you're surrounded by a bunch of, in this case, aluminum. So a bunch of aluminum pieces that are all put together and sealed together, and you're sealed inside the suit. So all of the pressure that we have here stays. And then you go underwater, and as opposed to that pressure increasing and pushing against you, the aluminum keeps the pressure out. So you take this suit to 2,000 feet, and you do submarine rescue, you do intervention, you do all kinds of other tests and jobs. And I became a pilot for that, and I was in charge of bringing it into the Navy. And Kirk was obviously the doctor that came with us that said, you guys are idiots.
So it's literally a one-man submarine. It is the epitome of a one-man submarine that's exactly body size.
Yep.
It looks like the Buck Rogers Danger Will Robinson.
Lost in Space. Yeah.
Yeah. So for everybody listening, this interview is going to be a little bit different in that, I mean, you have so many credentials. And when I started looking through your LinkedIn profile, I'm like, okay, he's way too smart for me. Autonomical engineering, some PhD thing in astrophysics, this deep sea submersion, something,
U.S. Navy special
operator. So who the hell are you and what do you do?
So I'm a scrawny kid from New York who joined the Navy when I was 17 because I couldn't get into college because I was lower percentile in my class. I was bored, right? I was bored in high school, and I went in the Navy, and then I had an affinity for doing the certain things, jobs that I do, and I worked my way up through the ranks. I got a commission, and I left out of a research facility. I left there to become a special operations officer, which is not SEAL. So SEALs, people shoot at SEALs. Nobody ever shot at me. You know, I'm more of diving, explosive ordnance disposal, mine countermeasures, that kind of stuff. And you know, while that affinity grew in my life, it grew in my personal life as well. So I'm dual tracked, and I would do all this stuff in the military, and then I'd take all that stuff that I learned from the military and do it out in the civilian world, and then I'd bump it up because it's really easy to do things out in the civilian sector as opposed to in the military. Military moves at a speed just faster than glacial, you know, so they don't change anything. And that was part of what the draw to him, because he and I were looking to change stuff in the military, and they were like, whoa, who are you? You can't change that. And we're like, no, we know. We saw this once in a cartoon, you know, Wile E. Coyote did it. We're pretty sure we can make it.
We're going to change it even though it's going to piss you off, and we're still going to do it.
Right, exactly. Yeah. In spite of you. So, and then I kind of worked my way through. I did a master's degree in astronautical engineering.
And what is astronautical engineering?
So it's a multifaceted field that you can do a lot of stuff in. I did a lot of orbital mechanics. So statistical orbital determination, to be exact. So if you're tracking an object that goes around the world, if you can get a range, azimuth, and elevation on it, you can predict where it's going to be in the next cycle as it comes around or in the next whatever. But if you think about it, that stuff can be used to shoot down a ballistic missile trajectory, to, you know, I don't know, intercept
keep a satellite
to keep a satellite in orbit,
to take a satellite out of orbit.
So, you know, you can extrapolate that to things that we might or might not be doing in the very near future or have just done.
Right.
So there's some coolness there, but all it is math. And I'm very math minded and English minded, you know, I'm not so good with putting the words together, but the math is the easy part.
You've been spending time with Kirk. You all have a very nice vocabulary. All right. So let's take this down to my level, and I want to talk to you about a couple of different things, but really how your knowledge and what you do in the world and your gifts and who you know, your work, what it's doing to affect the world in a really positive way, and your background with submersion diving and deep sea diving, and all of that love and passion and knowledge and experience, how does that translate to the real world today? And what I mean by that is your work with hyperbarics, and, you know, back in the day, it was more just for helping people that... Mm-hmm. What do you call it?
Submarine rescue.
The bends and
DCS,
Some more military or those that had the bends, and I can relate to that. But how does that apply to real world today?
Just to back up just a little bit, I retired from the military and I said, I don't know where I want to go. I don't know what I do. And you're in the military for so long and you become this person who you may not necessarily be. You're just kind of morphed and fit into these little cookie cutters.
Institutionalized.
Yes.
Much like prison.
Yeah, much like prison. So when you graduate from that and you retire after 28 years, you got to try and find yourself. Hence the, I mean, you know, long hair is obviously rebellion, but you know, it's seriously something that I wasn't, and I wanted to switch. So, you know, they offered me a great job at SOCOM. Hey, you can come, you can sit in the same chair as you may, you know, you're making ridiculous money now. You'll make ridiculous money in a little bit. And I'm like, I don't want any of that. I want to find out what I want to do. So I started with the end in mind, as Deming says, right? And I went to the end for the humans, which is the tombstone. And I said, what do I want my tombstone to say? What do I want to give to this world when I'm done? And I said, I want to make diving and space flight safer. Like there's more safer for the people that are doing it. And I said, I think I can solve a couple of the problems that I had while I was on active duty. And we lost some people because of things that happened. And I said, I think we can fix that. We're smart enough to get through that. So we're working that goal. So how does hyperbarics tie into all that? It's basically a part of the cure for the astronauts before they go up and do a spacewalk. It's the cure for divers before they go or after they come up from being down. All that kind of sort of ties in. And then I realized that there's a whole, you know, like even physicians, if you don't have a physician like him who's knowledgeable in hyperbaric medicine, they get like 4 hours of it in med school. And I don't even remember, it has something to do with bubbles, right? But so I want to put the word out there to the doctors so that when I get hurt, bent, you know, astronaut problems, whatever, that somebody's around to fix me. So that was the goal, is to push that out.
Let's talk about that a little bit more, because your world has been really big. You're talking about the military and you're talking about astronauts and, mm-hmm. you know, war and saving lives and, you know, really big stuff that's, obviously, in the grand scheme of things, is huge. I mean, your work is huge. It just makes such a big difference globally and for potentially generations. So where I got interested just in this word hyperbarics, of course, I only thought about it, is that that's what would happen, is if you have a diving accident, you come up too fast and you get this thing called the bends, and it bends and you go to this hyperbaric thingy, and that's about as much as I knew about it until Kirk, actually, and my father got diagnosed with cancer. Mm-hmm. And so just because of my own healing and my own health journey, I was more into the integrative alternative. What else is out there other than traditional medicine? When he had cancer, of course, he goes to just your regular oncologist and goes through just the very normal protocol and standard of care and chemo and radiation. And they wanted to amputate his leg. And I mean, I can't even tell you the nonsense. And this is my father that was given 3 months to live. So I called Kirk, is, you know, the doctor I respect most in the world, and knowing he does integrative on both sides, but he really thinks outside. Like both of you, you guys are a little bit radical in your thinking and just thought leaders and really kind of just bumping up against the status quo and standard of care. So I had talked to Kirk and I said, you know, like what, my father just got a diagnosis. I called him the day my father got the diagnosis and said, what do we do? And so hyperbarics was a big part of that, of what he recommended. And so I said, well, what is hyperbarics? And why would it matter? And why would my father want to do this? And so then I just became a lot more interested in it. And then it was even looking at it beyond cancer and how it can facilitate, maybe extend life or just help, but then even performance or after surgeries or just how to better cognitive ability. So what I'd love for the rest of this conversation between the two of you, and really this is a very lay audience, is just really open up this concept of what is hyperbarics outside of diving. Where can it be very effective? Where is it missed in even being suggested as an option in different care? And where do we point people?
Sure.
No, I mean, I think the most relevant place to start is to talk about the fact that it's a tool. It's no more magic than any other tool, but it is synergistic with other things. So Now, when you said you talked to me and I told you all of this protocol, well, I learned that from people I respect, right? So I call Dominic D'Agostino, who you know and work with and do research with, and I call, you know, Peter Attia, who's, you know, former oncologist and surgeon. Sure. So what about the surgical advice to cut the leg off? Huh? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, ridiculous. Yeah. I thought it was ridiculous, but let me check with a guy who knows
smarter
more than I do and talk to Rob Wolf, who's a cancer researcher. And then you read Tripping Out of the Truth, and I read Tripping Out of the Truth. And we talked to a lot of the people in those books. And, but, you know, the important thing to realize is that the hyperbarics was a component of all of that.
Sure.
Right. But, you know, Dom's advice was, well, you know, do this supplement regimen and you know, do the ketotic diet, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, my expertise was in hormones. And so I told him about my hormone ideas. And Dom's really smart on that, too. So we exchanged ideas on that. And then, you know, I talked to Peter about the nutrition aspect. And so all of this got woven in. But the hyperbarics is the part that people probably don't think of the most out of all of that. And I think the hyperbaric is really kind of what ties all of that together, right?
Sure.
Because that's when you're really pushing the ability to get information and substances to different parts of the body.
Sure.
That you can't do otherwise. We can't just do it sitting here because we want to. And we can't take so much of it that just goes there.
Yeah.
We take so much of it that it goes everywhere, like chemotherapy.
Right.
But, I mean, talk a little bit about the specifics about how, you know, you can you can help heal wounds and you can help kill cancer cells and you can help do lots of little things and talk just a little bit and again the lay audience.
The
physiology of how are we changing things with the hyperbaric
cells. You said lay audience and physiology in the same sentence. I don't know if I can swing that, but I will try my very best. No, I mean it's really not that hard, and if you break it down to the brass tacks, which I hope this is, and if I'm too out there, let me know. But so what happens is oxygen is transported by hemoglobin normally, right? We're walking around, we're transported by these little things.
Blood cells.
Red blood cells, thank you. So red blood cells transport oxygen, get it to the cells. In the case of hyperbarics, the plasma, which is much smaller than
the yellow
red blood
stuff
cell.
When you get your blood spun down, the yellow stuff is the plasma on top, and then
exactly.
all the proteins are at the bottom.
Right.
So blood is actually yellow with red stuff mixed in it.
And that's what makes it. That's
so
what makes
the yellow
it red,
stuff
exactly.
is the plasma. Yeah.
So the yellow stuff, but the yellow stuff is smaller and can reach further and can go to more areas as opposed to the hemoglobin, or the red blood cells are larger and they can't get everywhere. So they can't deliver the oxygen everywhere. So what happens in hyperbarics is the plasma starts to carry that oxygen and deliver it to tissues that may not be getting red blood cells to them, because you get tissues all over your body that may or may not get red blood cells to them. You know, depends on what problems you have. But so hyperbarics will, I mean, it's going to reduce swelling. Overall, that's what oxygen does, is it reduces swelling. It increases. We all know about collagen, right? This whole new fad about everybody wants collagen injections and so forth. I mean, your body will naturally produce that. You can increase your collagen production by using hyperbaric oxygen.
Which is the little stringy stuff that holds tissue together.
Yeah. little stringy stuff that holds tissue together.
Yeah.
That's good. Okay, it also reduces pain. Reduces swelling. You know, and this hyperoxygenation, you know, there are some bad sides of it, obviously, because nothing has a good without a bad, right? So the bad sides of it are you can't do the Michael Jackson. You obviously can't sleep in a hyperbaric chamber your entire life, because it's just your body's mechanism for transporting that oxygen are going to just break down. So you need balance, like everything else in life. You need balance, right? So but a little bit of hyperoxygenation or a little bit of extra oxygen is going to help most things that ail you. So, I mean, that's the overall on hyperbaric oxygen. Now, what could it be used for? Oh, the Undersea Hyperbaric Medical Society, as you well know, regulates what CMS will pay for, or what Medicare will pay for. But what's paid for and what's, you know, ethical and the right thing to do are two totally different
things. Just like integrative medicine.
Right.
You go see your integrative medicine practitioner, your healthcare insurance isn't going to pay for you to do 90% of the things that your integrative medicine doctor wants you to do. That's going to come out of your pocket. Yeah. Hyperbarics is just another one of those things.
Exactly. So like you say, here's this medicine that will help prevent you from getting type 2 diabetes. we're not going to pay for that. But once you have type 2 diabetes, we'll pay for the, what? Okay. So, yeah, you know, but this is the type of thing that could help with many things. Obviously, you got to find somebody that's knowledgeable. Obviously, you got to walk down that path and figure out what's right.
So let's break this down into a few different pieces then. So when we were talking about it for part of cancer, as far as either in my father's case was maybe giving him more life and better quality of life during the time of life that he had left, and or those really looking to reverse and to heal cancer, where might hyperbarics fit in that situation?
Oh boy. That's the fun part, because everybody thinks, or most physicians think, unlike him, but most physicians think, oh, well, you know, you're going to feed the cancer and it's going to grow. No, that's not the case. It's exactly the opposite. You're going to feed the cancer and it's not going to spread. So that's what hyperbarics does. It feeds that tumor. It'll give it the oxygen it needs, but it prevents it from spreading because it doesn't need to go capture this next cell or this next cell or this next cell to steal the oxygen from it. So it feeds it in place without allowing it to expand. It's terrific. Also, chemotherapy synergy, the synergy with chemotherapy, and this is paper, you know, peer-reviewed paper stuff. So you can apply a much less dose of chemotherapy, a decreased dose of chemotherapy, and have a greater efficacy with hyperbarics, in combination with hyperbarics. There's a lot of synergy. And like you said, the synergistic effect of that is pretty incredible. So,
and that's where Dom was talking about, really the synergistic effects, even if you are using chemo, but with the ketogenic diet, and because cancer really likes sugar, so removing the sugar, and then like what you're saying, and then with the oxygen, it feeds them so it doesn't spread. So really blending some of these few things together can make an enormous difference in the quality of life and or even be part of remission.
So a lot of the other things that, you know, that we were talking about doing with your father and other people with cancer, these things take time, right? Mm-hmm. And so if we go by the metabolic theory of cancer, which you and I both believe in, I believe Joe probably believes in that as well. If we go by that metabolic theory and we say, okay, this is all mitochondrial stuff, right? Like if we increase mitochondrial density, hyperbarics does that. If we increase mitochondrial density, ketogenesis does that. If we increase mitochondrial density, these supplements do that. Mm-hmm. That takes time. So while we're doing this, and we're going to improve the mitochondria to where we have more healthy mitochondria than diseased mitochondria, let's control the size of that. So now there's two mechanisms there, right? Mm-hmm. That hyperbarics, and that's what we know. That probably he probably knows five more than I do. I mean, there's probably 300 more than nobody's ever thought of. But again, everything, controlling the size of that tumor and changing nothing else is just going to slow down how quickly that tumor kills you, right? And repairing all of the, you know, increasing all the mitochondrial density and improving their function without hyperbarics is you're just racing and hoping you can beat the cancer. And that depends on how long has it been there, how fast is it growing, how, you know, and to his point, you're getting new blood vessels into it. It's reaching out, trying to get more and more and more blood supply. How fast is that happening? How quickly can your mitochondria shift? How disciplined are you with your diet? So do everything. Let's crush the thing. Let's, you know.
Yeah. And so really the point here is for anybody listening that if you know anyone that has cancer, is that there is a metabolic theory of cancer, which hyperbarics is a big part of that protocol. Mm-hmm. And then on Wealthy Wealthy Wise podcast, I actually have a cancer series. You could listen to that again and then add to what Joe's saying as well. So just to close up the cancer and hyperbarics, if somebody is looking for maybe alternative treatments and wants to consider this, what would be your advice? Like, because they're not going to get it in traditional care. They're not going to get it by going through the normal standard of care through the normal, you know, the normal oncology route. So what would be your recommendation for somebody listening?
Right. So, what you need to do is you need to seek out somebody that has expertise in this. Unfortunately, there's a lot of things that have come up nowadays, these flexible chambers, these portable plastic.
Let's wait to talk about that. Yes.
Okay. So you want to seek out a reputable place. You want to seek out somebody that is going to basically just do the right thing. I mean, look, there are people that are out there that'll just treat you. Yeah, hey, give me your money, I'll treat you, no problem. I don't care whether you get better or not. But, you know, do an interview with somebody, and when they have that amount of care and they figure out where you are and what you're doing, the science works and the devices are inherently stable. So it's not, generally speaking, a problem, but you got to seek out the right type people.
Okay.
As everything.
As everything. All right. But just to consider that. Now, yeah. The other thing like that Dr. Kirk mentioned was the wounds.
Yeah.
And just that it accelerates healing. And so that could be from surgery. That could be from just serious injury.
Right.
And so where does hyperbarics fit in that?
So it's the healing is about the collagen production, those little stringy things, the collagen production. And so that's the healing, the surface stuff, and the hyperoxygenation. So the more oxygen I can get to the affected area, the better off that affected area is going to be. And it's not from outside. You could surround your leg with 100% oxygen and pressurize your leg if you have a wound on your leg. It's not going to get in that way. That's not the way cellular respiration works. You need oxygen delivered at the cellular level. And the only way to do that is through breathing the oxygen. So once you breathe the oxygen and it goes down and it's transported down to the area, if there's an insult that prevents the red blood cell from getting to that area, nothing prevents plasma from getting everywhere because it's the smallest thing that we have. So it goes everywhere.
And part of the healing is what, you know, one of our job security words, neovascularization, growing new blood cells or growing new blood vessels. So you have to, if you think about it, if a surgeon cuts into you, they burn all those little bleeding, you know, all these little annoying little things that are bleeding, getting in the way of them doing their surgery. They burn them. Well, those are your blood vessels. When they stitch your skin back together, they don't stitch those back together. They just stitch your skin back together, and those have to grow back together somehow. Okay. And that's something that's driven by your metabolic state. It's driven by your hormonal state. It's driven by your oxygenation. It's driven by, you know, blood glucose. Like, all sorts of things are involved in that. And to his point, all the tissue to heal still needs oxygen. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not going to get it. I mean, you just burned all these blood vessels.
Exactly.
It's going to take a while for those to grow back together. And if your hormones and metabolic state are great, that might be a few days. If you're a pretty sick person, and maybe sick elderly person, that could be weeks, months before you're going to get real good blood supply to that area again.
Right.
You go in a chamber right after surgery, you have that oxygen right then.
Right.
The next day you have it again. The next day you have it again.
Regardless, it's going to speed it up you know, what health state you were in health-wise. But, I mean, it just makes so much sense when you say that. Like, why is this missing? Like, it's almost a dumb moment.
Yeah.
And one, why isn't it being talked about it? And then two, I'm guessing, all right, if I have a surgery, let's say it's covered by insurance or mostly, or even if it's a cosmetic elective surgery, I'll pay the $3,000 for the cosmetic elective, but I won't spend the extra couple thousand dollars to speed up healing. So where's the messed up thinking in that?
It's a knowledge gap. It really is a knowledge gap. And like we said, go back to the physicians, not him, but normal physicians are like myopic when it comes to this kind of stuff. They go, you know, breachers breach, shooters shoot, surgeons cut. That's what they do. But they don't think, oh, I need something synergistic with this. Oh, maybe I need some hormones in here. And then, you know, it's that whole thing pushing together. And here's the problem. And I want to go back to your point on that. You know, as a PhD student, I'm doing all this research. And what we want to find out is not necessarily the synergistic effect of these three things. What I want to find out is which one of these three things has the best efficacy. So, because I want to put my mark on the paper and say this has the best efficacy because it's peer reviewed. I did a controlled study and da 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 da. But really, as a patient who has cancer, I don't care which one's best. If you want me to jump up and down on one leg and then hop with this and then rave my finger in the air, I'll do all three at the same time. I don't care. I just want it to go away. Mm-hmm. So that's where we need to push towards, is my opinion.
And when you say, you know, do this one thing, you're talking about protocols.
Right. Either do hormones or do hyperbarics or do the surgery to cut it out or
instead
do the chemo.
Instead of doing
all of them simultaneously, obviously working with the interaction on all of them, but...
Well, and it's even, so that's in the case of cancer that we're talking about earlier, but in the case of a surgery.
Mm-hmm.
So you go, you get your surgery, and then you lay in best and rest, lay in bed, you rest, drink a lot of water.
And you should be doing hormones and stem cell therapy and hyperbaric so and supplements.
It's just very isolated, siloed system versus when you spread it out, look like, no, it really is this holistic. And there's all these components. Surgery is one component.
Yeah.
This sometimes it's elective and sometimes it's life changing, but it's more than just surgery. If you want really healthy healing and as fast healing as possible time is money and the less that you're in pain or just waiting for things, I mean, it's just that much better, but it's not talked about. We don't even know that this is an option.
Well, it's kind of reserved for professional athletes and you know, the elites of the world. It's like, well, it's really important that this guy's leg heals fast.
Right.
We don't care if your leg heals fast.
Right, I mean,
you're not a professional athlete. Pain. You can sit here and do what you're doing without your leg. So we're not going to spend a bunch of time and money on that. So if we can get out of this thinking that there's anybody elite, there's anybody who's in this, it's like, hey, if that works for them, it's better for us. Why don't we figure out a way that we can do this? And to your point, if I'm going to pay, you know, let's take an elective surgery, right? I'm going to go get, you know, breast implants because I've always wanted big boobs. So I'm going to go get breast implants, and I'm willing to pay $3,000, $5,000, $7,000, whatever. I don't know how much that surgery costs, but I'm willing to pay that money, and I'm paying it out of my pocket. Medicare is not going to pay for that. My insurance company is not going to pay for that. So I'm going to pay for that out of my own pocket. Mm-hmm. And my surgeon's happy to do that part of the surgery. Mm-hmm. And if I go to the surgeon and this guy tells him, well, it's $10,000, and this guy says it's $7,000. And the difference between those two is one guy's paying for hyperbarics and the other guy's not.
Yep.
What am I going to do? I'm going to I'm going to price hunt.
Right.
And what you need is for all of the surgeons to get together and say, hey, we want the best outcome for everybody. Let's do this.
And we know educating surgeons is going to, you know, how long that's going to take. Really, for everybody listening, it's just to know that these are available tools and they're very effective. And once we know about them, at least maybe we can consider them. All right. So we've talked about hyperbarics and cancer. We've talked about hyperbarics and just accelerated healing that just obviously makes so much sense when you say that. What about like cognitively or performance wise or those that are otherwise, you know, they're not dealing with disease. They don't have any surgeries or wounds or anything. They're just really looking at it kind of amplified life in a way to, you know.
And let me give a little metaphor here before we start this. So when I first started learning about hormone replacement therapy, that was one way to improve hormones. Of course, you can do it with other pharmaceutical agents. You can do it through exercise. You can do it through nutrition. You can do it through supplements. There's lots of ways to get your hormones to an ideal state. However, the quickest and easiest thing is just to give people a really big injection of these hormones, and then they feel great for a while. And so that's what a guy who go takes a weekend class says, oh, this really big injection. So one, you have a training issue, but then two, now you have the vultures out there going, oh, people want their hormones higher. And this horny goat weed from, you know, Africa and whatever, that can increase testosterone by 0.07% in controlled studies. And so now they're going to start pushing it. And now you have a confused public who are going, okay, do I actually need to go do this treatment, or can I just take this supplement off of this infomercial or out of the grocery store or whatever? And I think we're seeing that now with the hyperbarics.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Like we're seeing this with these flexible chambers and we're seeing it with, this will make you age less. This will make you prettier. This will make your teeth whiter. This will make like whatever you want to do. So I think that's where you're going with, like, well, what's real out there
as far as
what can we use for enhancement and what are the things we need to look at?
Yeah, I think where you're going, Kirk, is, I mean, this whole biohacking craze like trying to hack this or hack that and better performance here. And if you do like all these crazy things that somehow you're going to live a lot longer
and
your quality of life is going to be so much better. You know, so we're trying to reduce that. But just those that are just part of a healthy lifestyle and just, you know, take your supplements and get some good exercise, eat good, clean, healthy food. And what are some maybe other like supplements or a tool and assist? And where would hyperbaric maybe fit into that? Is like a somewhat of a flexible protocol that you might fit in, or does it even matter in that case for just longevity and health and feeling great as we age, especially.
Yeah. So there's a lot of that coming up right now. Obviously, there's not peer-reviewed research on it. Obviously, there's no double-blind studies. However, what the effects that you're going to get from oxygen in a hyperbaric condition, they don't change. So you get the antibiotic synergy if you are on that. You get the reduced swelling. You get the increased tissue strength. You get all of the collagen production that you would normally get. So that happens all the time. I go in the hyperbaric chamber. I come out. I'm telling you, I feel like $10 million. Now, when you say the word feel, everybody goes, oh, feel, because you can't quantify feel, right? Mm-hmm. On a scale of 1 to 10, how do you feel? Whatever. But prolonged use over the days. For instance, what everybody runs around today eating what? Dark chocolate and blueberries to do what? Increase, what's the name of that thing that they're trying to increase? Antioxidants, right? Antioxidants, right? So naturally occurring within your body, anytime you try and push oxygen, your body makes antioxidants. Wait, what? Your body actually makes this stuff that you are trying to buy off the shelf or put in your body some other way? Yeah. So the antioxidants are made by your body during this process of wellness. So I get people all the time. They come in, they feel better. Once again, I can't.
And oxygen's a little important, isn't it?
Just a lot. Yeah.
So one other question I have just regarding really, again, hyperbarics is that as everything tends to happen, things become very trendy. Mm-hmm. And then if you gurus start talking about it, and then everything, you know, there's all these clinics popping up all over the place. Sure. Hormone clinics, for example, that you referred to, when people don't even know what the hell they're doing with hormones, but they're injecting people with hormones. But I'm starting to notice all these little places where they have these flexible hyperbaric chambers, because that's the new trend. And if you just sit in this thing for an hour, you know, you're going to be Superman or Superwoman. So, and I've been curious myself. So I thought, do you have to go to a hard chamber? Can I just go down the street to the little clinic and once or twice a month just go get a little extra oxygen? And does it matter? I mean, are those credible, or do you think that's a waste of time and money? That's a personal question for my own.
Okay, for your own edification, sure.
Yes.
I would suggest.
We're friends. Okay. So would you say, Christina, go down to the little local clinic and jump in that little blue flexible thing and bring your computer and work for 90 minutes?
Oh, bring your computer and oxygen. Don't even get me started with that and the fact that people aren't paying attention to the fact that oxygen can't. I'm just going to talk about me. I have a hyperbaric center and I follow lots of rules, and rules are generally written in other people's blood, right? Why did that happen? Well, because that blew up because this happened. I mean, you've seen and heard of oxygen fires and these problems that come out of these chambers. These are inherently stable devices. This is generally speaking, not a problem, but by God, if you take a lithium battery into an oxygen environment, wait, why would you do that? You know, why would you even consider doing that? Why would you consider taking any firing product, any product that can produce any kind of energy so that you can ignite a spark so that you could...
And especially, why would you do that if you were, say, like a Navy-trained physician and SEAL and who knew better? So when I was pushing her, it was for wound healing. I'm like, well, let's go to this chamber. It's right now.
Because I had shingles. So a few weeks ago, I had serious shingles and I'm trying to heal. And of course, he says that hyperbarics...
Let's do this hyperbarics. It's right down the street. And I'm telling you have to wear all cotton clothing. You have to make sure you take off all your jewelry. You can't wear your watch. And we go in there and there's this woman's like, oh yeah, just go ahead and hop in. And then all of a sudden I get a text
from her.
And I'm like, what? I thought she was in the chamber. And I go and look, and she's in there. Oh my gosh. So this goes
I'm working in there. I'm like, this is the greatest thing ever. I get because I'm 90 minutes in the chamber. I'm thinking, I have peace and quiet. Do you know how much work I can get done in 90 minutes? So I'm sending out email, following up on my text. I'm like, this is so great. I'm healing and I get to work at the same time. I get no interruptions.
So the first time I'm so anxious, and then we go through treatment, and then I'm reading more about it, and I'm thinking to myself, well, maybe, you know how uptight the Navy is about all their rules and stand this way and do this and tie it, and this has to be, and a lot of times you can blow 90% of that stuff off and get the same result. So that's my concern. I was like, well, maybe I'm just a little oversensitive to it. And then I start talking to you again about it, like somebody who actually does this and smart and has kept their skills in this area, and you're like, oh, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. I was like, Well, I thought it was, but I talked myself out of that. So I was smart, and then I was dumb again. So, yeah.
So don't go into hyperbaric with any devices. And then with these flex chambers.
Yeah, the flex chambers lack the ability to deliver the concentration of oxygen so that plasma can transport oxygen. Which is the whole point, right? It's like, and there's a reason why, CMS or Medicare will not pay for something that doesn't go above a certain partial pressure. And generally speaking, those flexible chambers don't. And that's why, because it lacks the efficacy from peer-reviewed papers. So I don't want to be...
So is this a continuum? I mean, is it like, okay, at 1.5 ATA, poof! Plasma starts transporting oxygen, or 10%, 20%, 30%, deeper, and like now we're saturation. This is the most oxygen your plasma is ever going to. So there's zero benefit at 1.4, and there's 100% benefit at 1.5. Is there a continuum? By your best guess, I know this isn't research, but
everything's a grayscale. And but the understanding that I currently have from my pharmacological professor, because I asked him to drill down on this, and he really didn't know either. So, but these guys are saying that there's a continuum, and it goes from like 1.3. And then it gets better to 1.6 or more. So I'm suspect that we generally don't treat people over 2.0. Why? Because the risk of central nervous system oxygen toxicity, one of the downsides, is pretty great when you get above that. So, the cost benefit just isn't there.
So that's oxygen poisoning your central nervous system, your brain, spinal cord, nervous system, all that stuff.
Exactly.
So we're running out of time because my son actually has reservations for all of us at brunch at his restaurant. He said, Mother, you have to be on time. So,
yes, ma'am.
And he knows that I'm not typically on time. So when and he's not either. So when he says I have to be, he really means it. So anyway, beware of these little clinics that are popping up.
That's
and
my advice.
Even if you go in those, avoid bringing your...
Do your own safety control.
Right. Oh, please be your own safety control, please. Yeah. I really start to like you guys. Please don't do anything like that.
All right, so just a couple final questions. And what I like to ask everyone that comes in is part of Pride Rock and Hickory and has this background here at our house. Like, where are you today?
My goodness. It's an incredible view. This place is gorgeous. Every time I come here, I just close my eyes and imagine where I am. Here I am in Nicaragua hanging out.
So today we're in Nicaragua.
Sure.
Well, we're all sweating because we're out here in the Texas summer heat and it's humid. And it is like Nicaragua. So anyway, I wanted to say thanks again. For being part of the event, for just sharing your knowledge, your wisdom, your experience, your love, your heart, your friendship. And it's so great to know you. And
thank you.
Thank you for sharing everything you know with the audience. If people want more information on the hyperbarics, can they find you? Is there anything you can help with?
UnderseaOxygenClinic.com is a website. There's a lot of peer-reviewed papers that are on there. You can look up. You got to be your own best advocate. You got to go read, and you got to make your own cost-benefit analysis. I mean, you don't believe anything that your best friend tells you, because that's just not the way to do anything. Just
bro science.
Bro science, right? Yeah. Like, oh, what do you do? Oh, I do this. That's perfect. I should do that. No. So you got to make your own decisions. So get smart. Get into the peer-reviewed research and figure it out.
All right. Well, Joe, thank you so much. You're amazing.
Thank you, love. Oh, I appreciate it.
Don't try to hug me.
My brother. Hugging you.
All right. Thanks, y'all. We will talk to you next time.
Bye.
And so ends another episode of the Wealthy, Wealthy Life podcast, where Christina brings you unconventional, cutting-edge strategies from leading experts to optimize your wealth and your health. As a token of gratitude for listening, go to podcast.fallingformoney.com and download a free copy of her best-selling book, Falling for Money. If you're ready to change your relationship with money, head on over to podcast.fallingformoney.com and download your free copy today.